T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, welcome to the championship rounds of Drolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Low, if you're in your seat, say something.
Buddy, yo.
Ooh, that's double flag. Double flag. Not in the seat and speaking into the microphone without it on.
Great catch, though. You catch that every time I throw it over to you. You got impressive hands. I juggled it.
You can't throw that back at an official like that. That's 15. And an ejection, most likely.
My eye, Gilbert Brown.
I'm going to sue.
It's really not even that funny when you think about it. That was just unfortunate. It ended his career.
Yeah, he
got
paid.
Disrespectful on behalf of you.
Got paid.
Yeah, but would you? How much did he get paid? Would you
millions?
Yeah, but not.
Would you take $10 million to have your career end by getting hit in the eye with a flag?
He was 30-some years old, Joel. He was done.
Okay, so yes or no?
He was hunked. He was losing it. Big Brown was out.
So you'd say yes.
Rest in peace. I don't want to talk about a man that's passed and gone. So
then why'd you start the conversation by talking about?
Well, you kind of changed the narrative. I was just saying my eye because Dibs threw the flag. And you went down this dark hole and started to just.
It was Orlando Brown. I said Gilbert Brown. I was wrong. It was Orlando Brown. I wanted to correct that.
Flag yourself too.
No, we don't flag ourselves for inaccuracies. We'd be throwing flags all day.
That's a bad joke. That's flag yourself too. What's a bad joke? You tried to take a shot at him. You swung. You missed. You got to be held accountable for that.
What's wrong with?
You got to be held accountable for that.
I'll take it.
The inaccuracies can go, but when you're trying to take a shot at someone, you've got to be buttoned up.
Okay,
this is the way to. Flag yourself.
Cam Inman's going to join this disaster
you,
in about 6 minutes.
Got problems, man.
We
serious problems.
We started our own Twitter account.
Okay.
Yesterday for the show. What's the official handle? Does anyone know?
Joe Low and Dibs A N D.
At Joe Low A N D Dibs.
Correct.
Dibs with one B.
Yes.
Follow it. Help us out. All the shows are going toe to toe to see who can get the most followers in 1 month's time. We're going to give out a prize. We're not sure what it is just yet. Follow along. You can, you know what? You can come in and you can hang out with Lo. Lo will hang out with everybody for as long as you like. He'll come to your bar mitzvah, your bachelor party. Let's just pimp him out. Lo, anyone who follows the account will get Lo free for one hour.
Wow, Joe, next you want me to dance? Okay, here we go. Throw some peanuts too, Joe.
You like dancing, though.
My God, Joe, seriously.
You don't have to bring your wallet.
Yeah, you go to the bar mitzvah, you eat for free.
Wow, thank you, Anna. There she goes.
You're welcome.
She's back. Thanks, Dibs, for not going on that rabbit
hole. Hey, I was with you
all day. Appreciate it, Dibs.
Yeah, I think the singling out of you in this case is wrong and it's out of line.
Thanks, Dibs.
Although we do have 239 followers now, so you're going to be quite busy making house calls.
That's a lot of bar mitzvahs.
Yes, it is. That's a mitzvah.
That's a bat mitzvah.
All right, so Cam Inman's going to join us in a few minutes. We're trying to figure out if there's anything that can be done for the Niners to upgrade the running back position. Very, very slim pickings out there on waivers. And I don't know how many assets you want to give up in order to try to acquire a running back on someone else's roster at the moment. We can discuss Le'Veon Bell in just a minute. But come Minnesota on Sunday, who do you see starting as the number one tailback in this backfield?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Alford. You look at Alford. Alfie's been in the situation with Kyle Shanahan's offense. He was there in Washington. You watched the way he had some of his biggest years with Kyle Shanahan. So look for Alfie to step in there. And in the way that he ran against the other night when he played against the Indianapolis, I thought he ran the ball well, had over 100 yards if they wouldn't have negated the 17-yard run. So I think it's going to be Alfie. He's been around. He's started. He's ready for the moment. I'm going to go with Alfie for the starter.
We only really saw him against Indianapolis.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly the best competition, but you think given the track record, given what you saw in Indy, that's good enough to get the start. I think we're all of the belief that both running backs will share the workload.
Right.
But that's if you have to feature one in the most crucial of situations, you think it's going to be Alfred Morris.
Yeah, I do, Joe. And you think about the other guy, I mean, who hasn't played. You know, he's been injured pretty much the preseason. And now, so Alfie's had more game experience as of late. So he's had more touches as of late, even though he was, you know, not on anyone's team doing training camp until latter part of training camp, but he still had more touches. So when you look at it like that, he's not injured. The other running back just coming off injury, shoulder, all the different things around that. So I go with Alfred. I go with him, and then, you know, you bring him in as a changeup.
Good luck following that up. Would you also go with old Alfred?
No, I would go with Matt Breida as the other running back to whom he was referencing. I think Matt Breida, having been in the system longer, certainly this time around. I know Morris played with Shanahan and back in Washington years ago, but Breida is the guy who was the incumbent. If McKinnon wasn't brought in, Breida would have been the guy after Carlos Hyde left. So you start Breida, your first 15 plays or so are scripted anyway. You're going to use Morris a bunch. I think Morris comes in more when Juszczyk comes in, and that true eye and the offset eye we like to talk about so much in the running game. But I definitely go with Matt Breida first.
From the 415, my bachelor party is this weekend in Tahoe. You're invited, Lo.
Thank you so much for the invite. I won't be in town. Sorry about that. I'm going to go watch the big fella. Go watch a little Lo play some ball down there. And
who's Purdue got this weekend?
Is
it a home game?
It is a home game. It is a home game.
Just go ahead and bring the schedule.
Yeah,
up
so
for
they
you.
got a home win this week, so I'm gonna go and check that out. Eastern Michigan, I think it may be. I'm just guessing, but
yeah, September 8th, Eastern Michigan, 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, so early game. So now I won't be able to make that old bachelor party.
All right.
Well, appreciate the offer, though. I appreciate the old offer. Drink a little of that old Jameson for me. Have you a couple old Coors Light. Enjoy it.
There's no direct flights from East Lafayette to South Lake Tahoe or even Reno.
You can just
jump in an Uber.
Does either place even have an airport?
Exactly. No, I got to fly.
What do you fly
Indy.
Into?
Either Indy or Chicago. Yep, they don't have, Lafayette, the airport's too small.
How far is the drive from Indianapolis to Purdue?
4 to 5 minutes.
How about from Chicago?
2 hours. Chi-town, about 2 hours. So yeah.
Why would you ever do Chicago?
Yes.
Save a couple bucks?
Save a couple bucks. It's got more flights, more availability flights, bigger airport. You know what I'm saying there? You got two airports there, but Indy's a little smaller.
You might have more availability with the flights, but you'll have less availability with your time due to the excess driving.
Yeah, that's true, too. But you always gain an hour or two, I think, that, too. You know, Chicago's an hour ahead. So
Two ahead, even.
Yeah, so from Indianapolis. So it's interesting, the time zones.
Oh, that's true, isn't
yeah,
it?
Joe,
Indianapolis is eastern, and Chicago is central.
I've been there, you know.
Look at you.
Yeah, so I look at it that way, too, Joe.
So rather than fly into the time zone, land in one time zone and drive across.
Yeah, you got it. But then when you leave, though, you got to get there a little earlier.
Because you're going to lose that hour.
Yeah, worst conversation of this
you just asked me. And I'm
trying
just
to put you on center stage. Trying to give you an opportunity to deliver for the people.
Am I delivering? I'm swinging.
That's up to the people. That is up to the people. Somebody get Cam Inman on the phone. Did we not learn our lesson with Rich Aurelia a couple weeks ago?
We cannot
be left to our own devices. If we are asked to deviate from the show sheet, it is a train wreck. Fortunately, we can go to the phones right now. He covers the 49ers for the Mercury News. Cam Inman joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Cam, good morning and thank you for your time. The running back situation. Are the Niners having any discussions about trying to make a move to bring someone else in for depth, given what happened to Jerick McKinnon over the weekend?
Well, if they were going to have those discussions, they would have probably happened a few days ago, guys. It looks like right now they're going with Alfred Morris. Matt Breida is a 1-2 punch. They got Kyle Juszczyk that can catch the ball out of the backfield. And that's pretty much the situation they're in. Obviously, it's not the most ideal one with McKinnon going down on Saturday with a torn ACL. But I think that's kind of why they went out and got Alfred Morris 2 weeks ago. They surveyed what was out there on the free agent market. Alfred Morris had his two best seasons when he was under Shanahan in Washington in 2012 and 13. And he's got 69 career starts, which tells me that he's probably the one that'll be more of the featured back Sunday in Minnesota. Although I really do like what Breida has. He's quick. He knows the offense. He can catch better than Alfred. But again, you're going into a real hostile environment, week one of the regular season. I don't know if that's the place where you want to have Matt Breida make his first career start.
It'll be curious to see, though, because if there's an ineffective run game, I don't think it'll matter who's back there, because more likely than not, won't you see more Juszczyk in the pass game and see them just straight up abandon the run game?
They're going against the Minnesota Vikings defense that was number one last year in the league. So I think we can all assume that the run game isn't going to be great. Especially behind an offensive line that's kind of feeling its way out. It's a whole new line this year, well, besides Staley and Lake and Tomlinson on the left side. So it may take them a few games to get kind of gelling. And they got Jimmy Garoppolo back there, guys. This is going to be more of a passing attack, I think, than we've seen from the Niners in a long time. You know, a lot of people are predicting 4,000 yards for Garoppolo. That's a lot. There's only been three 49er quarterbacks in history that have gone over 4,000 yards. But it's a new NFL, and it's a pass-happy NFL, and the Niners are happy they've got a passer finally.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if they can't run the ball, they got no chance. You got to run the ball to keep teams' defense honest. You can't let them just pin their ears back, even if it's ineffective. You got to run the ball in the National Football League. Anyway, as I digest, I like to think about a guy. Is there a guy out there that they can get out of the booth? DeMarco Murray, you see this guy, you know what he's about. You think is any way the San Francisco 49ers can influence him? Is he a guy that you think still can tote the mail?
I think you can still tote it. I think you need to come in here. You know the value of a running game, man.
Yeah, the old fella just a little too old for that, though. I might get hurt. You might have to come out there and get me.
A little round, too.
That's okay. All you need is one snap, right?
That's true.
Get you, like, vested again, right?
Absolutely. You're on top of it. Well, call John Lynch. Tell him I'm ready to go. Let me go out here and do some.
John Lynch knows you. He's got your number. He knows what's ready to go. I don't know, Lo. I think we're at the point where especially week one, right? Where if your vet's on the roster for that first game, his contract's guaranteed throughout the year. So I think you got to see what you can do through the first week before maybe you dip back in to a veteran free agency market and
sure.
There's a guy out there. Especially if I think you want to see how Breida does, but also you know what Alfred can do. So they're not in such dire straits that all of a sudden they just lost Frank Gore and they have nobody. They've got two capable running backs. They didn't. Nobody really knew what they were going to do with McKinnon other than. You figured he was going to bring so much more of a receiving aspect out of the backfield. And I tell you what, that's what they brought Juszczyk in for last year, besides being a quality run blocker, out of a premium position known as fullback.
Nice.
Cam Inman joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What's the plan at all three linebacker positions? With Reuben Foster suspended for the first two games of the year, this has been a question that's been kicked around over the last month. What are the Niners planning on going with?
I think that plan might hinge on whether Malcolm Smith can finally be healthy enough for his 49ers debut. It's long delayed. He was supposed to be playing last year. He tore his pec in training camp, and he's battled injuries the last month and a half now. And he showed up at camp battling a heel injury. He missed about 3 weeks with a hamstring injury on Monday when we were out on the practice field for a glimpse. He wasn't warming up with the team. He was off the side doing a little blocking sled work on his own. Gives me pause going, well, what's the deal? Is he hurt again? And if that's the case, is that going to be Brock Coyle pairing with Fred Warner? Fred Warner, rookie out of BYU, 6'3 linebacker, he's fast, he's physical. Brock Coyle is not as athletic, I guess, as you could say, Malcolm Smith, obviously not a Reuben Foster. And these two guys, whoever's at middle linebacker, the two inside linebackers, they're going to face Dalvin Cook. He was a stud last year until he tore his ACL in the fourth game. And we just got off the phone with Mike Zimmer, the Vikings coach, and he says Dalvin Cook's ready to go and looking as accelerating as fast as he used to. So they're going to have their hands full with him and Kirk Cousins.
Another player recovering from injury is Richard Sherman, who hopefully for the 49ers will key the secondary. How close to 100% is Richard Sherman, and how important is he to the Niners in that the depth behind him may be more suspect than Niner fans would want?
Yeah, I tell you, you do have him, and I think that was the big issue all off season was, is Sherman going to be healthy enough for week one? And all signs indicate that he is. He missed a little bit of time with a hamstring injury. I don't think it was too serious. But I'll tell you this, I don't know if it's 100%. I don't know if he does. You're not going to know until you're out there full speed, backpedaling, making the cuts you need to, racing downfield. Sherman's so darn smart. He might be the smartest cornerback I've ever seen or covered. And I think he's going to be able to, figure some things out here, knowing what to anticipate and getting help off the free safety that they play deep. But I'm very curious to see how that goes. And I'm sure so is Kirk Cousins as he makes his Vikings debut and is probably going to want to test Sherman. And if not Sherman, then he's going to go across the field and test Keller Witherspoon, who's only in his second year.
What can we expect from Armstead, Mitchell, Buckner, and Thompson?
I'd love to tell you. It's kind of the big wild card. I call it the top pick trio platter with Armstead, Buckner, and Solomon Thomas. And everybody's waiting for them to emerge as this great defense. I remember the Rams years ago, and they came out and drafted all these defensive linemen. And,
sure.
And now it's kind of paying off with Aaron Donald, right? Well, is that going to work out with the Niners? The only guy that looks like he's paying off so far is Buckner, and He's only got, I think, 9 career sacks. He should have a big year. I'm really expecting a lot out of Buckner. We had a big story on him on the front of our sports section today. But Armstead, I think, is the guy that people are most curious about because he's flashed here and there, then he gets hurt. A bigger guy, another 6'7" guy. And then Solomon Thomas, they're bouncing him around. He's some off the edge. They're going to be moving. I think what they're going to do a lot, guys, on the defensive line, they're going to be using so many games and stunts and twists just to try to disturb, to mix things up since they don't have a premier pass rusher. And I guess what? They're going against a Minnesota Vikings offensive line that's not very good. And the Vikings, as great as they were last year, making it to the NFC Championship game, they've got questions on offense. And it's whether not just Kirk Cousins adapting to a new team. They got a new offensive coordinator. Cook's coming off that AC. The offensive line really could be a concern for them.
Cam Inman from the Mercury News joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What's the plan at tight end? I saw that Garrett Celek is listed as the starter. George Kittle, obviously, is someone with a lot of upside. When we get to the red zone, could there be a flipping? Because we've been predicting Kittle is the guy who could be the team's best red zone target, but I believe Celek led the team in touchdowns last year.
I believe this is a conversation we should have had before that fantasy football draft last night, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
they put that the unofficial depth chart out. That's not necessarily done by the coaches. It's the way the Niners have operated. It's almost a two tight end starting set usually. And it's Celek and Kittle. Kittle, I think everybody needs to know, he looks like he's healthy. He separated that shoulder in the exhibition opener. I think that was really concerning because he landed on it, just not a good sign. But he looks healthy. His problem is he wasn't healthy a lot as a rookie. He had to battle through injuries. And Celek's not known as the most proficient tight end. He's obviously very capable. I think this is his seventh season. Those are your two tight ends. It's just me, Tom, is Gronkowski. Everybody gets their hopes up that Kittle could be, and he might be. It's a situation where he needs to be healthy and stay on the field, and I think we won't really know for sure until Sunday how healthy and how much they want to use him.
How explosive is Dante Pettis, not only in the pass game, but potentially as a special games game changer?
I want to see him return punts. And this guy returned 9 punts for touchdowns at Washington. And when they drafted him, I said, well, he could automatically become the best punt returner in the league, right? He's more than that. It turns out he's a pretty darn good wide receiver. There's some questions about him going over the middle, but they've got so many other receiving options. They don't need to thrust him into that receiving role, but I think they do need to get him on the field, see what he can do. And that to me is a punt returner. They do have Trent Taylor back, but Trent's really valuable in your slot right now, and he's coming off back injury in the offseason, so I wouldn't necessarily thrust him into that role either, and I want to see Pettis play.
Cam Inman covers the 49ers for the Mercury News. He's with us here on 95.7 The Game. Cam, terrific stuff as always. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, guys. Enjoy week one. Thanks.
This story is horrifying to me. I'm going to read this to you. It's from Twitter. Mother Nature Network, a verified account. It's a picture of this. Oh, my God. If you see this six-eyed sand spider that is highly venomous, please let the Philadelphia Insectarium know. The spider, along with 7,000 other creepy crawlers, have gone missing.
Oh, God. Come on, Philly. Get it together.
Get buttoned it up, Philadelphia.
You're all partying for your Super Bowl championship. Who's watching the insects?
7,000 creepy crawlies have gone missing, including something that looks like a tarantula. That thing is horrifying.
It's fuzzy.
Does anyone in here have like an insect thing? Like, most people don't want to deal with spiders, but does anyone have like a genuine fear of
like
them?
I thought you meant like a terrarium where you actually kept the spiders in a thing. No, I have no fear of spiders or bugs.
Not at all.
I hate them. I always have Paul kill them. I can't do it.
But like, that's pretty much normal. Do you have it to the point where it causes any sort of serious damage? Because there are people that have a serious phobia with that.
No, for me, it's
arachnophobia.
Snakes. For me, it's snakes. That's the one I have the biggest phobia of.
Okay. What about you?
Yeah, I don't like insects. I'm not afraid of them or snakes either. But it's just, I mean, I got bitten by a black widow. Me and my dad, you know, underneath the house is working on stuff. And, you know, you think, You didn't even go to the hospital. You just, you know, you just suck it up.
Rub some dirt on it.
Pretty much. And, you know, it swells up a little bit.
Dad, I got bit by a black widow. I don't care, son. Go slap the pigs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way that
goes. You ain't union.
Get back to work. Exactly. So, I mean, shoot, snakes, go for snakes. I lived out in the country, Joe. So snakes are in the house. You got to go grab them by the head and freaking bring them outside. And so I grab snakes, you know, gopher snakes, rattlesnakes. You see it all, man. You play with those cats. Ain't no big deal.
I would cry.
Imagine you were in a room this size. What would you say this room size is square footage wise? I'm not good with estimates like
maybe
that.
Maybe 100 feet, 10 by 10, yeah.
You think this is about 10 by 10?
Yeah,
this is longer than 10 feet.
Right. This is typical foreign ball.
I'm
ask
just
a
saying,
question.
This is way more than 10 feet.
Declare
not
you have no expertise. It might be 8 15, by 12.
15 by 10. 15, this is probably 10 here, and that's the length is probably, yeah. Probably 15, I guess. 15
All right,
by 10.
So 15 by 10. Do we feel that that's reasonable? This
sure.
is definitely, lengthwise, it's definitely more than 10 discs.
I could pace it off, Joe. But
All right, 15 by 10. Imagine it's completely pitch black. No windows. Four walls, ceiling, floor, all that stuff. Completely pitch black. You got to survive in there for, I don't know, you got to feel around the room for a key. The key could be taped to the wall. The key could be taped to the floor, somewhere on the floor. But in that room is either a snake or a tarantula. Whatever spider would be the scariest. What would you rather deal with?
I'd rather deal with a tarantula because the snake's going to slither and it's going to lash out at you potentially. The spider's got to crawl up on you before he gets you. The snake can get you from long range.
All right.
I would pass out first, but if I have to pick, it's going to be a tarantula.
You're going to pick the spider over the snake?
Yeah.
What are you going to take?
Oh, yeah. Tarantula, by far.
Okay, so everyone's going spider.
Oh, yeah.
All right, snake versus baby wolf that knows how to kill. It's already killed. So
I'm
you're
going
in that
snake.
Room, you've got to get to the door to get out.
What kind of snake are we talking here? Are you talking like a rattlesnake?
Scary snake.
Okay.
What's a scary
like
snake?
Like a boa constrictor?
Well, that's gigantic.
A
what's
rattlesnake
the one in the Ice Cube
is
movie?
Scary.
Anaconda.
Anaconda? Yeah. Not an anaconda.
No, but
you're not dealing with that because you're not going to be able to get
it
out.
It can be a little gopher snake.
It's definitely not. It's a viper.
It's got nothing poisonous. Got
to
be like
it has to be poisonous. Your life has to be on the line. I'm not offering you a butterfly versus an ant.
Okay, I'm saying give me a boa constrictor that can kill a man or a rattlesnake. Give me the boa constrictor.
What's more dangerous to kill a man? Boa constrictor?
Well,
you're the one who grew up on the farm.
But that's the thing. The venom of the cobra or the rattle it can kill you. But
what's scarier to you?
The cobra.
The cobra. All right. So you're in a room with a cobra or a wolf. Which would you rather have to face to get to the door?
Give me the cobra.
The cobra's sitting right by the door, though.
That's fine. I'm going to fake left and do a little spin move, and I'll be around him. Or I'll swim move him.
Literally have to stretch before you do a radio show.
It's not true. It's not true.
I saw you stretching
Stop
this morning.
Laughing, Anna.
I don't have to stretch, but I do. There's you understand the difference between have to and choose to, right?
I do.
It's a wide Grand Canyon of emotion between
him,
the
Joe?
Two.
He stretches every morning before the radio show. I figured I'd bring it up. He's talking about juking a viper.
Cobra.
I couldn't juke a viper, no chance. No. Cobra's got no chance against
So it's the wolf, but a small wolf. Not the wolf that goes up against Liam Neeson in that movie.
You're taking the wolf?
I'll take the wolf.
Oh,
you know what? I'll grab I'm going to die no matter what, but I'll take
the wolf. And then she'd just be petting the wolf like a puppy.
A wolf will eat you up. You can't go. If you got to go to snake, you got a chance.
The snake's still going to eat
you. But you got a chance. It's a door. He's going to get away from
it. But I can hit the wolf with something.
What?
If I hit the wolf with something, at least I have a shot of hitting it. If I'm trying to swing at a snake, there's a bigger chance of me missing.
That's a bad call. Really hate snakes.
Oh, I can't stand it.
All right. What's going to be for you? You'll face the snake?
Absolutely.
Okay, the wolf versus tiger.
Hey,
Tiger Woods. Give me Tiger Woods. Nice. Hey, it's Tiger. Give me Tiger. Yeah.
I'll take the wolf over a
real tiger. Give me the wolf.
Hey,
give me a wolf. Over.
But like the wolf in the movie The Gray with Liam Neeson, the head of the den at the end.
I could probably whoop a wolf, a tiger.
You whoop a wolf over a tiger?
If I got weapons and stuff,
you get no weapons.
You said this room. I could probably
This room is blank. The room is just dark. There's nothing in the room.
Hell, it's gonna be tough. Give me the wolf. I take my chance.
I had weapons. Yeah, you know what you get?
Just
you get a rocket launcher.
No, Joe.
How about that?
I thought this room. If I had these chairs, I think I can.
He's MacGyver. He'll turn this pen into a stick of dynamite.
Yeah, I'll take this microphone. I don't know how to turn it on or off, but I'm gonna turn it into a weapon. And I'm gonna stab the wolf.
I'm gonna turn it off right now. My mic.
All right, Sean Salisbury, we won't ask him those questions, but we will
Thank
ask
you.
Him others.
My God.
Is there a point coming within the next year or so, where a team's going to figure out a way to get two $20 million a year players under contract and compete for a Super Bowl? Or is that completely out of the question? Joe Lowe and Dibs, back in a flash. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Need help getting out of bed in the morning? We've got the answer. The Pregame Show. Come on! Every weekday morning at 5 a.m., leading you into Joe, Lowe, and Dibs at 6. Don't miss the Pregame Show on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game. Joe, Lowe, and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Updating a story from earlier, Adam Schefter, ESPN on Twitter, Earl Thomas, Seattle's safety, has just told Josina Anderson of ESPN that he plans to report to the Seahawks today. Now, that comes in the wake of a report that Dallas offered a second-round pick to trade for Earl Thomas. Seahawks said no. So maybe there's a contractual situation taking place here in Seattle. Maybe Earl's about to get some more money. We will keep you in the loop. But for now, we go to the phones. Former NFL quarterback and host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, Sean Salisbury, joining us on 95.7 The Game. Sean, good morning. How's everything going?
Going good. Good to talk to you guys. Appreciate you having me on, man.
Well, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for your willingness. Let's start with the big trade that happened here in the Bay over the weekend. Saturday morning, Khalil Mack traded for a bevy of picks to the Chicago Bears. What was the first thought going through your mind as you heard the news?
I didn't like it. I don't know what the pulse is in the Oakland or the Bay Area and San Francisco, but I did not like it. For me, guys, I don't trade away my best players. I just don't. The coach is making $100 million. I can guarantee $90 million to my best player. And as much as I like Derek Carr, the best player in Oakland, Khalil Mack's better at his position than Derek Carr is at his. And I'm a Carr fan. You guys know this. I've been on this show and said it before. I just don't believe you trade away your best players for what might be. I don't believe that. And I also don't believe that the Raiders say, well, we're going to rebuild in 4 years from now. We'll be good or we'll be better because of the draft picks. Bears won the trade. You traded away your best football player into a division that needs pass rushers. You got rid of in a division that has pass rushers. What may be the best player, maybe the best defensive player in the division. So to me, I hate it. I'm a diehard Raider fan, have been my whole life, guys. You can't pay. And I'm okay with paying. I don't believe in the slot that a running back should only be paid like a running back, that he can't be paid like the 20th best quarterback in the league. I don't believe a disruptor. If you're building a team, in my mind, it goes, you better have a quarterback first, and you better have a disruptor second. And it's in that order. It ain't corner next. It ain't strong safety next. Tight end next. It ain't right guard next. And all those guys are important. It's the guy who's close to the quarterback that wreaks havoc. And there's very few guys in the league that wreak as much havoc as Khalil Mack. I would have signed him. I would have, you know, done everything I could to keep him. Egos get in the way when it comes to negotiations for whosever ego that is. I don't get rid of my core best players. Look around the league: the Bradys, the Rodgers, the J.J. Watts when he's healthy, Kevon Miller. How many of those guys are still on their teams? Hence, they should have kept Khalil Mack. I thought it was a major mistake, but I hope it works out for the Raiders because I'm a fan.
How much does this hurt the locker room for this season when you're in there and you know that one of the best players did get traded for future picks? Does that affect the mood of the guys in the locker room? And what does that say to other potential free agents who might want to come here, having seen Mack not get paid by Oakland?
Well, I think that the free agent thing will have an effect, but I try to look at every single thing, you know, by itself. Like, well, if I'm a free agent, they didn't pay Mac, well, maybe they'll pay me. I try not to put an umbrella that if you're a free agent and you want to go play in Oakland or in Las Vegas and you want to be a Raider, that, they're not going to pay me when it comes time. I think I try to look at each individual, unless there's a long history of every single time that when it gets to this point, we're getting rid of you. I mean, then you got to take a look. But as far as the current locker room, and Lowe knows this, and guys, you do, I think for me, it buys for a while, guys will comment on it. And they'll wish he was there. They're also concerned about their own jobs and winning. Once the season kicks in, you're in your preparation for the week.
Sure.
Now you're getting ready to get yourself ready for a Sunday or a Thursday or a Monday night game. And unfortunately, I can't worry about the guy who's not there. Those players had nothing to do with Khalil Mack. They have everything to do with themselves to keep their job, or they'll find their butt on a bus out of town too. So the key is you've got to focus in. So, yeah, now they go 1-4, and their defense is giving up 30 points a game. Then guess what? Then the rumblings will start. See, if we'd had, you know, Mac here, it'd be different. I mean, then it brings it back. It's the reminder. My concern for the Raiders is they weren't overly explosive on defense last year and effective. Are they going to have to score 30, 35 points to keep up in the NFL? I'm not saying their defense can't get better without Khalil Mack, but, man, when you take that piece of the puzzle away, and one guy does make a difference. I know it's a team game, but one guy does make a difference. One guy does make a difference at wide receiver. One guy does make a difference at middle linebacker. It matters. It's why you're paying guys, and that's why the Bears are paying him 90 guaranteed and a whole bunch of money. So I don't think they'll think too much about it as they worry about their own job. If they are, they're not going to win many games. Khalil Mack's helping Chicago, not the Oakland Raiders. So, but you also, if they're not playing well, so how good is their defense going to be? I mean, going in on paper, it looks to the world, at least from the national stand. You guys are there, see it all the time. But from the national and from a diehard Raider fan, it looks to me like the Raiders are going to have to score a lot of points to keep pace, not only in the AFC West, which has got some great pass rushers, but in order to be a playoff team. And I think the over-under is 8. And I think the national focus and people I've talked to think that they'd take the under if they were a gambler. I'm not a big gambler, but I'm a diehard Raider fan.
Yeah, I look at this too, Sean, and I'm like, wow, I think that Gruden is going to come out smelling like a rose on this for some reason. And I totally agree with you. I think that you don't get rid of a guy like Khalil Mack. But if you look at their schedule, the Rams, okay, Rams' offensive line is not necessarily great. Their defense should be unbelievable. But what the Raiders' strong point is, offensive line and the offense supposed to be strong. You look at the second week, they got Denver, Miami, Cleveland, San Diego and Seattle. This team, to me, when you look at it, you look at that schedule right there, it's a toss-up. I mean, this team can very well be 6-1, maybe 5-2, you know. So I don't look at their schedule. I think Denver, unproven quarterback. Is Case Keenan, did he have one great year? You look at offensive. You look at the Miami Dolphins. Okay, it's Miami. Then you got Cleveland, San Diego, L.A., Chargers, a lot of injuries. Seattle, they're rebuilding. So I look at this Raider team. I think if Gruden does well, Farron, he could look like a hero or the GOAT.
Oh, there's no question. And I couldn't agree more. Now, I'm hoping you're right, man. I'm hoping the Chargers, I'm hoping that the Raiders, when you start to look and say matchup situations, well, why not the Raiders? Dude, trust me, I'll crawl 10 miles over broken glass to put the Raiders in a Super Bowl for the fans of Oakland and for me. I'm all for it. It's just, I'm going to wait till, you know, we always play games on paper. I'm going to wait till I line up and see if people are in the right position, if they can get after, you know, if they say, okay, Chargers offensive line, we can go pressure the quarterback, or Chiefs with a young quarterback, or the Miami Dolphins with, quite frankly, not a quarterback, and Denver with a new quarterback. I mean, you're right. There's a whole lot of ifs, and if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. So we still got to play. We still got to play the games, but I'm with you. Put it this way. The AFC West, we can go through it. And real quick, again, while the Chargers look to be the best team, Verrett and Hunter Henry.
Big injuries.
It seems like every year there's two things that happen to the Chargers. Major injuries to starters, and their DNA says we can't close. How many games over the last 3 years have they been in position and found ways to lose? Will they get rid of that DNA and change the course of how they think? And that's a big part of Kansas City, loaded. But as good as Mahomes can be, he's not Alex Smith. He's not going to have an Alex Smith season now. He'll put up some jaw-dropping plays. But Alex, I thought I told you guys this, is the most underrated quarterback in the league. I still believe it. So while in the future, Mahomes, I think, has got a chance to be special, I think they're going to actually take a little bit of a step back on the consistency. Big plays will be there. And then you take a look at the Denver Broncos. Hell, I don't know what to expect from them. Can they run it? Can they not? Is Case Keenum going to be a one-hit wonder, or is he going to step his game up? They already cut a first-round quarterback from 3 years. Is the defense going to be there? What's their passing game going to be like? There's a lot of ifs in the division, so why not the Raiders? I just hate, guys. I hate getting rid of what a guy in his 20s who's a dominant player and a former player of the year, and every year we're talking about him as being a player of the year, and now with all those defensive weapons in Chicago, he may even be better because they're pretty good on defense. They may not be the Jacksonville Jaguars, but they're upgraded. And you say, well, and then the hope that a first-round pick gives me kind of Khalil Mack, what he's done as a Raider, I just don't like. Sometimes you got to overpay. And sometimes you just got to overpay for players and hope it works out like the Rams did. While Aaron Donald's great, but, you know, they're paying him like a quarterback. So people will argue that, but I pay Aaron Donald too. I want him in the middle knocking people around.
Sean Salisbury joining us here on 95.7 The Game. To the Niners we go in Minnesota to open the season against the Vikings. No Jerick McKinnon, who they spent a pretty penny on this offseason. He tore his ACL on Saturday. How important is the running back in the Kyle Shanahan system?
Very. You know what system that comes from, guys? A mix of, you know, some of Kyle's stuff and some of the former West Coast, which his dad's been a part of, and Lo, you've been in a whole bunch of different systems, as have I, and seeing the different other. It is important. But you know what? What happens is, and you saw in Atlanta, look what Kyle did with both Freeman and Coleman.
Sure.
And when during Matt Ryan's MVP year, while Julio and that wide receiving core is really, really good, that running back out of the backfield of catching balls and running it, and I don't just call it the handoffs. I'm talking about touches are so important. But I hold Kyle Shanahan in such high regard of the young guy who has some little bit of old soul, who knows football, that doesn't let arrogance get in the way of, and we all have that arrogance, but I think he has a pretty good understanding of what he's got, and they're going to build it. I believe the 49ers, they're going to get their history back, guys. I do. I think they're started right with the quarterback, and I'm a big fan of Lynch, and I love Kyle. So it is important, though, and they're going into what I think, guys, when you look around the league, I'm talking about player for player. Offensively, defensively, offensive line, units on teams. Is there a better all-around team with, like, in the top three or four unit receivers? They get Dalvin Cook back. Their defense can be awesome in Minnesota. Their offensive line, at times, has been really, really good. They upgraded the quarterback position. Hell, they may be as talented a team as we have in the league. They really may. The Rams are pretty talented, too. But just when you look at it, this is Super Bowl or bust for them. So, and Kyle will have a game plan. Sometimes you and you know what? You got to adjust. You got to find a way to get the ball to the guy and what they do and use two or three guys, and they will. But that means going empty at times and spreading them out and using a wide receiver. I mean, Kyle will find the ways to deploy the guys. But losing McKinnon, shoot, obviously against his former team, it's been nice to have him. It's a bummer losing it where you tear ACL and you knew it, and you were counting on the guy because I thought he was a very under-publicized, very, very good player who I felt could handle the load as being the every down back on a regular basis. So it's a blow. There's no question. But the fact that the quarterback's really good, and I think that they're an underrated on the perimeter a little bit right now, but they're going to have to find ways to deploy the guys to get them not only just in the run game, but create, you know, in their inside zones and stuff in the run game, but also play action and getting balls to the flat. And you know what? Sometimes you find hidden gems, and it's unfortunate when somebody gets hurt, you find out something about somebody else. Called football. That's why we play tackle football. You better have depth in the NFL or you're in trouble, and hopefully the 49ers can find that mix. And Kyle Shanahan, if there's anybody you want to trust, E. McVay, these young bodies that know how to call plays, he's in that category.
Tough debut for Mike McGlinchey, the first-round pick who'll start at right tackle for the 49ers. If you were the quarterback, Jimmy G's shoes, what would you say to the rook who's going to have to deal with a tough Minnesota front and also a lot of crowd noise in Minnesota?
You know what? What happens is we get a lot of clutter, and as a quarterback or a new player, you know, the first thing we start to do is, and it's not like Mike played at a small school, and I would actually, if I was Jimmy G, I'd remind him, say, dude, you went to Notre Dame. You understand the big stage. Every week you're Notre Dame. Every single week. Now I know it's a little different on Sunday, but take that with you, man. You played in front of huge crowds. The publicity, it's Notre, historic. Number one. So feed off that. Forget about preseason. Who cares? You know what? It's the preseason. It's time now, whether you were great or not. Now, my number one thought is take care of your business. You take care of your business. Understand if you mentally know your assignments, physically you're better. What happens is guys overload their minds. They get a lot of clutter in there. And before you know it, the mental part of it is affecting the physical side because, oh, do I step down? Do I punch? Do I do this? You know what? You're playing against a Minnesota front and a really good front seven and a good defense. You know that going in. It's okay to address it. That's that elephant in the room. Say, you know what? They're good. Oh, well. You know what? You and Quentin Nelson face some really good defenses in college football as well. You played Georgia. Step your butt up. Do what you do. Use those long arms and that body of yours. You're Mike McGlinchey, your first-round pick. Go play like and relax. And we'll take care of, we'll keep you out of bad positions, and the ball's going to, and you know what, Jimmy, the ball's going to come out quickly. Just take care of your guy. A lot of times guys come and say, well, what about this? We do a lot of what ifs. get rid of the what ifs, man. Take care of your business. Get the clutter out and just go. If you dominate your guy, the other four dudes will take care of theirs. And I know sometimes with switches and all that, but the mental side will be the key, because I always think it's not, those guys can block. We don't draft guys in the first round that can't play. A lot of what gets to and some, I guess that's a wrong statement because some can't play, but you like to think they can. But I think what happens, it buries guys quicker at any position, is they get behind mentally and then emotionally. And then you give up a sack, and before you know it, you're like, oh my gosh, I gave up a sack. It's okay. That's why the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror, dude. You're going to give up a sack. You're in the Hall of Fame yet. Save that for 15 years down the line. Go block your guy. Take care of your dude, and don't worry about the rest of it, and Jimmy will take care of the rest and keep you out of problems. If I was Jimmy, that's what I'd tell him. We're going to be fine. We drafted you for a reason. You're a great player.
Sean Salisbury joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You said something on your radio show a few weeks ago that I found very interesting, that you were going to personally stay away from all issues regarding the national anthem on your show. There are some networks that love to talk about it. There are some that stay away from it. How has that been received since you made that declaration?
Well, judging from the ratings I got this morning, pretty damn good, okay? The highest rated show in the month of August in this town. So
good for you.
Yeah, and I'm only kidding about ratings because I joked on my Twitter. I do shows for fans and for us and for good information, not for that. Listen, and I don't care if when I wake up in the morning and I'm riding my Peloton, if ESPN, that's good for them. They cover it well, or Fox. I don't care what the others cover. It's just that I'm looking at it from my standpoint and people I've talked to. I'm worn out by it. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean social issues aren't important. Because if have another social issue that comes up, we'll address it. But you know what? I can tell you right now, no matter what happens in September, we're going to be talking about it in February. It's going to be a soap opera. It's going to be the same thing. Whatever it is, not what's going to change between September and February, other than us going on our show and going, hey, I'm taking count. 27 guys stood and 22 knelt. I don't care. I honestly don't. It doesn't mean you support either side. It doesn't mean I understand. I completely understand, and I'm all for very, very with a nonviolent protest, peaceful protest. I understand why some are doing it for social injustice. I get it because we need to address that. But I have a story. It doesn't say news talk or politics talk 790. My show is Sports Talk 790. For the last 3 years, I've made my point very clear on guest hosts, on any show I've been on and on my show, how I feel about it. I'm not doing it the third year. Now, I'll address it in February once it's over. Something changes. Hey, you see what happened? But I don't need to know why are they not showing the national anthem? Because they don't want to have to talk about it. So it's not going to be a topic. I don't care who kneels. I don't care who stands. I don't care who puts their hand over their heart. I don't care who puts their helmet to the side. I don't care who stays in the locker room. You know what? We all have a peaceful right to protest, but I don't have to discuss it because what it does, I want football. People are tired. People are tired. Sports fans, we get this every day on our news, as we should, social injustice and being an American and racial injustice and gender injustice. I'm all for fixing that. But me opening up my show saying, hey, did you know that Joe Sixpack and Harry Hatchet Ass both kneeled this week and Joe Sixpack and Harry Hatchet Ass both stood? Okay, what is me talking about going to do? Is it just going to be rage and people mad? People want to come on our sports talk show and talk their team and get that out because we've heard it for six straight days or we heard it all day. My show's not doing it. We haven't. We didn't talk about the Nike ad yesterday, whether you liked it or not. We didn't talk about it because that goes back, and I'm not. The guest calls in and says, hey, I want to talk about it. Say, call another show. Call me in February. We'll see if anything's changed. I'm all for change, but on my show we're talking sports. And we're going to talk entertainment. We'll talk social issues if it's something other than the national anthem. I've already given I don't need to keep repeating. It's not going to be Groundhog Day on my show. My show will go back. So, you know what? And if it hasn't suffered yet, if somebody wants to talk about it, say call me in February or call the guy across the street. Call, just turn on your TV. You can go do it. I ain't doing it. I've had enough of it. Whether it's and not enough of the social injustice or enough of who's an American and who's not and a proud American. I've had enough of the fact that it ain't leading my sports show. It isn't. It's not leading my sports show. People burning stuff stupid. People. I can go all the way through. Yeah, burning a pair of Nikes because a guy's used in an ad. Who does that? That's not me. So whatever side you sit on, I'm a proud American and a military son. I can't stand racial injustice. I can't stand gender injustice. I can't stand social injustice. I've talked about it enough. My sports show, Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790, And guess what's not going to dominate my show? When they give me a politics show, I'll talk about it ad nauseum. My show's going to focus on sports. I'm going to be the relief from the dominant every single day life that people get beat down and say, man, every day. I'd love to know what's going on with my 49ers or my Astros. That's what I'm talking about on my show. And I guarantee you when I come on your guys' show in February, there ain't going to be a lot that's changed. So this guy kneeled, that guy didn't, this guy. I'm not keeping count because you know what? I don't fault either side. I know what I do. I stand for the national anthem. Does that mean I wouldn't put my hand on the guy who knelt? Absolutely not. We all have difference of opinion, and mine ain't changing because the guy stands or kneels. And I've said it a million times, and it ain't going to be talked on my show again during the fall. We're talking football, basketball, baseball, sports, entertainment, laughs, Kardashians, Kanye West. We'll have fun with all of it. What we're not talking about is counting numbers of who kneeled and who didn't in Pittsburgh on a Sunday. I don't care.
Former NFL quarterback and host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, Sean Salisbury with us here on 95.7 The Game. Appreciate the energy, the time, and the candor, Sean. Thank you very much.
Sean, oh.
By the way, guys, look what you guys did. You got me to talk about it.
Wow. I was thinking the same thing, Sean. That's awesome.
But it's on your show, not mine. I love you guys.
Classic okie doke. Thanks for joining us.
Do you think, in light of the Nike ad that dropped yesterday and the news that Colin Kaepernick will be the face of the 30th anniversary of the Just Do It campaign, that the anthem situation this year is going to be messier or cleaner than it was last year? Because that was a mess. We didn't know the rules. Roethlisberger and the Steelers stay in. Then they come out. Then he's an American and he's singing. Then he's supporting his teammates. The Dolphin players have been told they'll be fined by the owner. Some players from Philadelphia and beyond have said they're going to protest no matter what. Do you think this is going to get worse before it gets better in light of the Colin Kaepernick news with Nike?
I think it gets cleaner. I think you're going to see guys stay in. I think that there's going to be a lot of guys that just stand up. I don't know if you're going to see a lot of guys kneeling. I think that Collins, what he's done is going to continue to permeate, and there you see what Nike's doing. But I just think that now I think that the league itself is trying to, you know, I don't think it's a problem, because I think now people are going to move forward. The injustice and all those things are still going to happen, but I just don't believe that guys are going to be so outspoken about it.
Additionally, I think that they're going to show the anthem less, even if they show it at all. And I think the coverage of it will decrease to the point. Like Sean said, last year, late in the year, it became almost like a box score. You know, week 14, we had 12 kneelers. We had three with their hands on their teammates. We had four sitting. And it became more of just a list as opposed to what the people actually were protesting. So I think it goes away to a large extent. Players will still kneel. I think you're right. Some will stay in the locker room, etc., but I don't think it'll be the same hot-button issue that it was last year.
That's a wrap for us. Steiny and the Guru are coming up next. They are guest-free and filled with takes. The report is that one of them is very excited about today's show. We'll let them explain to you who that is. For Dibs, for Anna, for Lowe, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everybody. We're back tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
The NFL is back. It's on 95.7 The Game.
The Vikings have won!
Tomorrow, it's the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles versus the Atlanta Falcons. And you can hear the game right here, starting at 5:30.
They have finally done it! The city of Philadelphia has a Super Bowl champion!
The NFL lives on 95.7 The Game. Opening night, the playoffs, and the Super Bowl. It's Westwood One's coverage of the NFL, and it's now on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.